The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Mm, absolutely. So, Cameron, what's the weather like in Nashville?
Raining and cool. It's like England, except we have more freedoms.
Yeah, okay. Well, clearly, with respect to the PURDA rules of elections and so on, we're not going to go anywhere down that line, but lots of Americana coming on the program, even though, tragically, we're unable to actually bring you our producer of The Big Bang Theory because she's a bit poorly. Never mind, we've juggled around, and we've got a Lincoln scholar who's going to be challenging the world about what we think about Abraham Lincoln, given that it was 150 years ago this very day when actually his life was ended. There we are. That was a little line. And Chloe, being an American Studies graduate, you'll be well aware.
I knew that, yes.
Here were they. Finger was on the pulse. The American Dream Team. Katie Dore, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. How have you been keeping?
I'm very good, thank you.
Now, your official title within the university is
Senior Administrator and PA to the Head of School.
Senior Administrator and PA to the Head of School. Professor Jason Whittaker, to be precise. Let's get ourselves sorted. It's very important. And, of course, Emma, who hasn't quite got the title that's quite as long as that, but is a key Midweek Drivette.
Yes. I mean, Drivette's a good title.
I think so.
It's not quite as fancy as Katie's,
They're all wonderful stuff. Cameron, you have brought another fine tune along today. The question is it rat-friendly? Because I know that Katie's very keen to ensure that her rats that she fosters, actually the country western or country music that you actually go for, that it needs to be male. And in the past, Katie, we've had budgerigars in Jersey who've particularly grooved out to some of Cameron's stuff, though not quite as much as they have to Rhinestone Cowboy. So this could be an interesting experiment you might like to possibly add to and consider in terms of what the rat will actually make of the whole sequence. Ellen O'Brien is outside the door, so we need to open the door to
go get her.
Thank you. Exactly. It's all right. You see, it's all bandaging together. She'd probably sort of sit on Alex's lap. A different line entirely. Anyway, allowing for that, Cameron, are we on safe ground here when it comes to the mammalian species who happen to be Species Rattus or whatever?
Yeah, and as far as rats go, I'm pretty sure they like it too, because I've had rats and pets several times in my life. I love them. The only downside is they don't live very long, but they're great social animals. I really like them. But getting on to something, more human, Courtney Dickinson is a young lady from Atlanta, and she's got a heck of a voice. And I think she's really going to go places. She's got a brand new EP coming out. She funded it through Indiegogo. So that's coming out on the 20th, which is in just a few days. So keep an eye out for that. You'll be able to, I imagine, get that on iTunes and everything else. So if you like it, go to her Facebook page. Her name is Courtney Dickinson. You're going to dig this song, I really think. It's a great tune, and we're really honored to be playing it for you here. This is called Young Forever, Courtney Dickinson on Siren FM.
Turn straight away after having liked Courtney Dickinson's Facebook page. Yes, we've done that. To Eleanor Bryan. Eleanor, welcome. Congratulations on getting your reward of going into the postgraduate world after you graduate, of course.
Thank you very much. Mm. Just got to hope I get the scholarship now.
I'm sure it'll be fine. You know, that's all great, etc. What did you make of Courtney Dickinson's little number?
Really, really nice. I'm very into the whole sort of Taylor Swift music, and it was kind of a bit like that.
Swift music, okay. Emma Tinson.
I thought it was really good as well. I loved the tone of her voice and really kind of sort of country style music. Mm. I thought it was really nice.
Nice teeth as well, of course.
Yes.
Always important. Katie Dore.
Oh, it had a lovely bounce to it. It was a lovely, lively. Yeah.
Do you think the rat would like it?
I think so. Oh, yes. They'd be good, bouncing along to it.
Maple Star Music and Media could actually say, as Katie Dawes' rat likes it, it must be good. I'm not sure whether that would work in the copy, Cameron, but think about it.
Yeah.
Our ace soul from Norwich, Chloe Baker.
Yep. I really liked it. She reminds me of a sort of Carrie Underwood type singer. Oh, and I like Carrie Underwood.
Very good. And as we move through, young Alex, whose surname I've forgotten, you know, because I taught him for a term. He was a wonderful student, and I've forgotten his surname. And your name is?
It's Crawford.
He's from Huddersfield.
Good old Scottish surname, though.
Yeah, exactly. You see, I could have said Alex from Huddersfield, but I thought, no. I'll say Alex Crawford, exactly.
I'm actually from Louth now.
There we are. Well, it's strange. It's strange but true. In fact, there's an Alex Crawford in the English third year that I taught as well. This is very confusing.
Well, I've been saying all along I need to change my name.
Well, but what did you make of Courtney Dickinson?
I liked it. It took me back to Shania Twain, actually. It's that kind of...
Whoa, last century there.
It's that kind of easy listening... driving along music.
You never know with the youngsters, Cameron, you know, Shania Twain. Yeah. You would have thought they'd actually wheel that one out. Still, never mind. Eileen, of course, to her friends. And over to Jessica Ward's Would It Fly in New Zealand or the Isle of Man, Courtney Dickinson.
Well, I think definitely. It was really happy and just easy breezy. Like, I agree with Alex as well. Very Shania Twain-y. But yeah, it was a really nice song.
Easy breezy. So there we are. Thumbs up all around. So well done. Emma, do you think we should ask Cameron to feature Courtney Dickinson on the show? What do you think?
I think we should indeed. I think she was lovely. So, well, lovely voice. So it'd be good to have a chat with her too.
Lovely person.
She's just amazing.
There we are. So can we set you that task, Cameron? Will you be on the case for us?
I'll get on the case right now, and hopefully we'll get her booked for an interview for you guys.
See, that's the kind of quality that the whole world appreciates in all sorts of ways. Coming up on the show, as it's now 11 minutes past 5 o'clock, we'll be going hopefully live to Jersey to find out how Anna Lewis is proceeding with her Jersey escape plan. Yes, as she revealed last week, she wants to get out of the island as soon as possible. Don't think I had anything to do with a recent visit we had there. That's a different mind entirely. Ed Fortune, lead writer for Starburst magazine, will be joining us. So will Tara Bennett from SFX magazine. And then, of course, we'll be talking to Professor Richard Carwardine, who's a Lincoln scholar and biographer extraordinaire. Last two questions for Cameron, please. Chloe.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this afternoon?
I certainly have.
And will you be back again?
I'll be back next week.
Yay!
Jessica Ward and Emma Tinson. We could tell you their superhero aliases, but then they'd have to stop saving the world.
Look on yonder misty mountain, see the young monk meditating, rhododendron forest. Over dusty hills I ask you, what has been like being you? Through all levels you've been changing, getting a little bit better, no doubt. The doctor bit was so far out, looking through crystal spectacles, I can see I had your fun.
Not so much St. Paul, or indeed other pistol writers, but Donovan, a pistol to Dippy with the rose-coloured glasses. Quite rightly so, you should always look through them because it makes life so much better, doesn't it, Anna Lewis, as we head into the courtyard part of your work in Jersey?
It's a lovely day here. I suppose it's the same in Lincoln. Beautiful sunshine.
It's always a lovely day in Lincoln.
Oh.
And apart from that, we carry on regardless. So, key thing, as we found out last week, we were concerned about your Jersey escape plan. How is it going?
Yes.
Is the tunnel working?
I'm actually having swimming coaching lessons, so maybe it will help me sort of just do it that way, a sporty way of leaving Jersey, just swimming. It would be good, yeah.
I think that's important. Now, if we just look around, I don't think it's fair to say, Chloe, you've ever really wanted to leave Norwich, or have you?
Yes.
That's the deep voice, Chloe, of the kind of, I don't
I've
want
got
to
a bit of a cold, so my voice isn't very good today.
Fine. But any thoughts in terms of how you should escape from Jersey or a particular place?
No. Well, I did it through uni, so
maybe
take up a postgrad somewhere.
Postgrad, actually.
Postgrad.
There's a different line.
Just carry on studying forever.
Alex Crawford, from the perspective of Huddersfield, which I can't believe you have anything other than the most positive words to say about that fantastic sort of environment of Yorkshire.
Centre of the universe.
There we are. what has led? Are you wanting to escape Huddersfield? Is that the reason you came to Lincoln, or was it for other reasons?
Well, I've always been a traveller. I mean, right. I left school at the age of 18 to join the Merchant Navy. It was this kind of runaway attitude of trying to see the world. But ironically, when I got there, all I wanted to do was come home. So,
That's because, Alex, the grass is not always green on the other side, particularly if you're at sea. Can't see any grass at all. Very important. Katie, are you a Lincoln citizen originally?
Lincoln born and bred.
Lincoln born out, so genuine yellow belly.
Yeah,
you never wished to leave the area in any way, shape, or form.
I moved away from Lincoln for about 10 years, and the university lured me back.
Lured.
What is the yellow belly thing? Because I have a drink at work that I sell called yellow belly.
I think the Lincolnshire Regiment used to wear yellow waistcoats, but I'm not 100% sure about that.
Or it was just people getting suntans. It was a very peculiar sort of setup. Eleanor, obviously it's never dull in Hull, as we found out this afternoon on Inspired On Air, and it will be European City of Culture, so presumably you just can't wait to get back to Hull, really.
Well... No, it's not as bad as people make it out to be, to be fair.
Of course, exactly.
It's not too bad.
And that's the sort of strap line you should be using, Anna, for Jersey. It's not quite as bad as people make it out to be.
Now, let me tell you something funny about Hull. There is a lady who gets on my bus who's from there, and she used to work for the Reckitt's factory that makes mustard, Reckitt's and Coleman. And the house where she lived in was in something called Laburnum Avenue in Hull. And it was beautiful because when in the days that she lived there in the 40s and 50s, there was a beautiful avenue of laburnum trees. And then, wait for this, the health and safety team from the local council decided that it was poisonous and they should get rid of all the trees.
So
Laburnum Avenue is no longer with laburnum.
However, is it true, Eleanor? You gave a little yelp of joy there when Laburnum Avenue was mentioned, is that?
Probably about maybe 2-minute walk from my house.
In your zone.
Seriously? Oh, wow. Well,
you never let me say we don't do our planning and our research on the Midweek Drive when we schedule people in. You know, it's
a small
like
world.
A fine-oiled, fine-tuned machine. Emma, any questions or thoughts for Anna about life, the universe, or just general sort of stuff before we go on to our next stage?
Well, just why do you want to leave Jersey?
It's small. It's 45 square miles of about 100,000 people, and there's no space. There's no open space, and the only thing you can do is stand on the beach and look out to sea. But you feel completely and utterly trapped. It's the terrible feeling of... It's like being a hamster in a cage. You don't feel as if you're going anywhere when you're in that little thing that goes round, and that's what it feels like being here.
But
unless you're mega rich and you can afford to go off every week or so, it's just miserable.
Being a hamster in a cage is not all bad. I mean, look at the sort of the GI hamsters and guinea pigs that you can actually get. You know, it can be wonderful. You know, it's all to do with perspective. That's the important thing. I clearly won't talk about the Isle of Man or indeed New Zealand, because that's a whole new world, but I will ask Jessica to throw those last two questions to Anna, if you please. Go, Jessica.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, Anna?
I have very much, thank you.
And will we be hearing from you in the future?
I will be here, ready and waiting. That's
lovely.
Fine.
And what's the view like from the courtyard at present?
I'm looking at a fountain which is in full splosh, and there's a sort of really odd sculpture in front of me. Where I am is the courtyard in front of Jersey Museum.
See?
And the doors are closed now, of course, because it's the end of the day. But it's a lovely day.
It's all lovely perspective. Day. All perspective. There's a distinct lack of young adult fiction that serves as a mix of action, adventure and inspiration to work in the emergency services. Gerry Anderson's Gemini Force One, Black Horizon, does exactly that, being a tale of a secretive international rescue agency told from the perspective of a young boy growing into adulthood. We've already had off-microphone Jessica Ward say, it's a lot better to have positive role models as opposed to all this violence that's around out there. Quite right too, Jessica. And just as we actually head up to our ace lead writer and general sequential art soul extraordinaire from, of course, Starburst magazine, would you like to share, Katie, the little bit of information re-Starburst and your own particular life in the universe?
It was the very first magazine I ever had put by for me at a newsagent's.
The very first magazine she ever had put by for her at the local Lincoln newsagent's. Can you remember the issue number?
Oh, gosh, no. But it had Babylon 5 on the cover.
Had Babylon 5 on the cover, Ed Fortune. There we are. What's not to love, then?
I couldn't tell you the issue number, I'm afraid. It would have almost certainly been before my time.
Well, it has been going for 412 editions, of course. I'm holding issue 411 in my hand at present with the fantastic Avengers Age of Ultron line on the cover there. And again, another classic scenario there. But let's move on to that lovely text. And I have to say, it is good. I mean, apart from the fact that a couple of our colleagues have got name checks because they helped fund this project, and I waded my way through Gerry Anderson's Gemini Force 1, I agree with you. I think a really cracking book and a really nice little text, which actually talks about impossible rescues, maximum risk, Gemini Force One. It's like Thunderbirds the precursor. A rollicking read. Are you going to change your opinion, or would you go with that, Ed?
Absolutely not change my opinion at all. I absolutely loved it. I found myself whistling the Thunderbirds theme tune. Just subconsciously, just all the way through. As you've read the book, it's a slow build, and it starts with a funeral. And then slowly but surely things build up and things get more and more exciting and more interesting. And you just find yourself as a build-up being very Thunderbird.
I'd agree. I mean, there is a moment, no spoilers here, obviously, as you mentioned, it starts with the loss of a parent. There's a moment where I thought, they can't do it, but they did. They actually did. In terms of M.G. Harris, she sort of take it a couple of stages further forward. But Gemini Force One, I'd say, is great stuff there, and certainly we look forward to talking to Jamie Anderson about that, hopefully in person. But as I said, we don't know. Will Telefantasy and Society take place on the 6th of May? I don't know. Waiting for Katie to register. I don't know. Anyway, apart from that whole side of things, we talked last week, that is Emma and myself and various other folk, about the new version of Thunderbirds. I think it's fair to say we liked it, but why, and I'm echoing Ross Ironfield over in Salford University as well here, why did they spend all that time promoting it only to put it at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning? Would you agree, Emma?
Yeah, I definitely agree, because I actually forgot to watch it this week because they moved the times. Yep. So I'm going to have to catch
ITV
up.
ITV player.
Yep, I'm going to have to catch up. But no, I think it's a great show, and it's something that doesn't just appeal to children, it appeals to adults who watched it in their childhood. Mm-hmm. And so they should have it on at a reasonable hour, I think.
Ross, Ed, any questions, any thoughts on that?
What I don't understand with the whole thing with Thunderbirds is, why isn't it on half an hour before Doctor Who? Because surely that would just be perfect scheduling. You know, and they have commissioned the second series, so maybe when they get around to the second series, so many people are PVRing it and watching it again and seeing this is perfect tea time telly, that ITV for years have wanted something that they can, you know, compliment Doctor Who with or put against Doctor Who, because Doctor Who will always trump them. So surely the perfect thing to do would be to have Thunderbirds on just before Doctor Who, and then if you want to sit and watch, you know, whatever quiz show it will be on straight afterwards, that's fine. But, you know, that would be, to me, perfect scheduling, because that's, you know, for families and kids in, they're going to go Thunderbirds, Doctor Who, perfect Saturday.
I think we'd be agreeing on that particular one. Katie, have you followed the new series of Thunderbirds? Did you see any of it as yet?
I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but I will be ITV playing it, so yeah.
There we are, exactly. I can see that some of your colleagues are actually sort of just checking out the wondrous words of wisdom you're going to sort of bring to the world, really. Happy hello to Lynn. It's fantastic, really. It's always good stuff there. Let's move around the actual team. From what you've actually looked at in terms of Starburst magazine, the current edition, Katie, we'll come to you with respect to this. Any questions you want to put to Ed Fortune?
Oh gosh, are you excited about the Age of Ultron premiere coming up?
Very much indeed.
strangely, one of the things that I'm quite excited by is I read Josh Whedon's Run on the X-Men years ago, where he essentially did an Ultron story. But he had an AI from the Danger Room basically did an Ultron. He's been obsessed with Ultron. And one of the things I want to see is I want to see how similar it is to his X-Men story and how many tropes and how many ideas he borrows from that as well. Very excited.
I think we all are in many ways, really. Chloe, any thoughts or questions from yourself?
I'm not the biggest.
I know,
sci-fi.
That's what I thought. I did, but it's an educational thing. That's the important thing.
But Thunderbirds, I was interested by. Mm-hmm. It was very different. It's very high tech rather than just puppets. Mm.
Rosamund Pike, of course, as Lady Penelope. And indeed, we even have Lady Penelope's doggy, not Parker, but Sherbet. Sherbet's not to appreciate about that. And thankfully, at least, although they've moved it to 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, they haven't done as they did with The New Adventures of Captain Scarlet, broken it up into 5 or 10 minute parts, interspersed with some inane kind of children's TV presenter giving you all sorts of tips that actually do not help with your life at all, you know, in any way, shape or form, as an adult, at all, really. Eleanor, Thunderbirds and such like, your views on this whole aspect or telefantasy in general?
Well,
again, somebody else who hasn't registered for the conference, but all right.
I was really annoyed about it being on at 8 in the morning because...
Well, you're a student. You don't get before 11.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Pointless, really.
Especially on a Saturday.
On a Saturday, Lord above. In Hull. Or Lincoln.
Just anywhere.
Yeah.
8 o'clock is just the middle of the night.
Are there 2 8 o'clocks in the morning?
It's unreasonable. But yeah, because when it used to be on TV, it would be on around about like dinner time, so you could watch while you're having your tea.
Yeah, yeah.
But no one gets up at 8 on a Saturday.
Very, very bizarre decision. Very bizarre. I really would like to know why ITV say. I could appreciate if maybe after 6 or 7 weeks it wasn't general, they might move it then. But after 1 week, and then very, very strange still. Jessica, any thoughts from yourself?
Sorry. Yeah, I've just been looking through it now, and it's really well presented. I've been having a bit of a giggle over Spenders Assemble, and there's like little rubber ducks in the form of like the characters.
Although we're going very shortly to Tara Bennett from SFX magazine over in the States, you know, the one thing I think Starburst will always trump SFX is on the basis of the rubber ducks. You know, it's the line, you know, FAB and all the rest of its pieces.
I am actually going to do a quick cheeky promo because 4.11 is absolutely lovely and you should read it, but 4.12 is out tomorrow. And it's a Mad Max special.
A Mad Max special?
And one of the things that we have scooped everyone on is we were lucky enough to talk to Virginia Hay a little while ago.
Virginia Hay from Farscape?
Virginia Hay from Farscape. And she's also in Mad Max. And she had a whole load of holiday snaps that we've that look absolutely amazing because they're holiday snaps from the set of the movie. So it's loads of photos, right in roughly about a third of the way into the magazine. Loads of photos from the original movie that you will not have seen before.
Once again, outrageous and outstanding. It's almost enough, Katie, to get the news agent to put it by for you again, isn't it?
Oh, I'd hope so.
I think you should subscribe as well. But there we are. That's a different line entirely. Okay, let's go to Eleanor. Eleanor, can you remember those last two questions for our fantastic, good sir, lead writer, of course, extraordinaire, Ed Fortune? Go.
Yes. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Always. It's always a pleasure.
And will you be joining us again anytime soon?
Of course, if you invite me on, I'm quite happy.
It'll happen. As I say, fingers crossed. We're very much fingers crossed. Listen, it's up to you, dear listener. If you want to actually see Telefantasy in Society, go ahead. We've got about 48 hours to actually go to the University of Lincoln Symposium, the webpage, etc. Just actually type it into Google, etc. Register. £25 for student numbers, for student prices. It's like 2 CDs. And you can get a chance to actually meet Ed Fortune, Jamie Anderson, a whole heap of other good fine folk, including Professor Richard Hand, John Jarrell, and maybe even Shane Rimmer at this event. Otherwise, we'll have to say, I'm sorry, Ed, we're going to have to hold fire on this. It's frightening, but still, we're just putting it out there, you know, sending that message out there. Positive thoughts. That's the important thing. You're now supposed to say something like, don't worry, it'll be okay. Yes. Yeah, there's the evil laugh there. Okay.
It'll be fine.
There we are. That's the important thing. Up next, California.
Greatest. Come on. Yeah.
I am a mountain. I am a tall tree. Oh, I am. Yeah, yeah.
Words of Ed Wellman, who's been collecting his car. Tune. Well done, Ed. Marvellous. Thank you for texting in. Great stuff there. Super smashing. Moving on from R. Kelly to the greatest SFX West Coast editor we could ever wish to connect with, or indeed American editor. That would be, of course, ace writer Tara Bennett. How are you, Tara?
Hello, so nice to be back. Thank you.
Well, likewise. And a very historic edition. Mind you, they're all historic editions with respect to the world's number one science fiction mag, SFX, and in terms of edition 260, just one edition before the big celebration of 20 years actually happens, because actually we share the connection with that. Not only have you actually put together an absolutely fantastic, superb article with the star of Gotham, of course, the very own incarnation of Fish Mooney, that would be the legendary Jada Pinkett Smith, which takes place on page 66 of the current edition of SFX magazine. But as you can see on page 40, there's a nice little plug, courtesy of Stephen Ellis for Telefantasy and Society, which ideally we would have loved you to have actually attended, Tara, but at this particular stage, due to very disappointing sales of registered tickets and so on, yes, that means the folk out there, Katie Dore, and Eleanor Bryan, and so on. People who haven't raised, even though, if we could convert the number of people who said, "Oh, great idea, sign up for that," into actual genuine people who signed up, we'd be quite happy. We'd be flying in Spielberg. But never mind. Anyway, we share it, and I feel honoured, actually, Tara, to share that whole sequence with you in the latest edition of SFX magazine. So there we are.
I love it.
Good, excellent. Let's do your rant first of all from Facebook, because you're a wee bit concerned with respect to the Wonder Woman magazine, well, the Wonder Woman movie, in terms of we've had another leaving here, and what's going on, as you'd say, in terms of what is happening with Warner Brothers. Share with us. Share the pain, Tara.
I know, it's just sad. Well, you know, Joss Whedon developed Wonder Woman years ago to be a film before he did his, triumphant stint with the Avengers and helping, you know, create the Marvel cinematic universe. So, I'm sure DC is still regretting not seeing his vision maybe clearly with Wonder Woman back in the day. But Michelle McLaren was recently attached to it, and if you love Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad, she was a very frequent director on both of those shows. And everybody was so impressed with her work on those TV shows that they knew that there would just be whatever the opportunity would be to launch her into film. And Wonder Woman seemed like a perfect match, a female director, a really, really wonderful director in terms of being able to do dialogue as well as being able to do action sequences and great big epic kind of setups like she did with Game of Thrones. And it was just announced that she left for creative differences, which makes you just kind of go, come on, DC, what do we have to do with this property to get this kind of talent attached to it and then, use them? It's very, very frustrating. And when you keep looking at how well Marvel keeps doing with attaching really great talented people to write and obviously star in and then direct their properties, you just kind of have to wonder why DC seems so short off the gate and also just whatever they're thinking in their head that the property should be, and these talented people are not agreeing with them. Maybe you have to wonder if DC's not thinking about it quite right.
As our very own Wonder Woman, what are your thoughts on this, Emma Tinson?
Oh, wow, thanks. I'm quite interested in it because obviously Marvel films have been huge over the recent years, and DC haven't really
got out of
the starting blocks yet, but they've been fantastic with their TV shows, I think. So it's kind of disappointing that they haven't quite got there because Marvel films have been absolutely fantastic and it would be great to see all the DC heroes up to that sort of standard as well.
We've had some good DC stuff, like not necessarily DC have made the films, but like Batman, obviously that series was great.
Oh. Are we talking about the Christopher Nolan trilogy?
Yes, Christopher Nolan.
That's hardcore DC stuff.
It's hardcore DC.
Exactly, yes. Katie, your thoughts on this?
I just think it would be wonderful to see a female-led superhero movie. And when can we have it, please?
Yeah, we had Catwoman, but that wasn't great.
Yeah. Halle Berry tried.
There's going to be a Supergirl TV show, I think. So that might be good.
Yeah.
Get some girl power going.
There we go. Eleanor?
I think it's unlikely that it'd happen, but I'd really like to see like some sort of thing that involved both Marvel and DC superheroes, I think it'd be really good. Yeah. Won't happen, but I just think it
would. Well, never say never. Never. If IDW,
I'm sure the magazines have crossed over before.
They have indeed. Yeah. Several times we've had sort of DC universe crossing over into Marvel universe. We've had all sorts of Spider-Man went up against Superman in a sort of classic 1970s series. So it has indeed happened. And indeed, if IDW can actually put Planet of the Apes with Star Trek, well, frankly, anything's possible. You know, it's the whole sort of sequence here. Alex Crawford, in your time in the Merchant Navy, were you a fan of the superhero scenario, or were you too busy actually being a superhero that you thought, I'm saving the world in the Merchant Navy here. I can't run the risk of doing anything else.
Everybody's their own superhero in that job, but there was enough free time to try and catch up with the leisurely activities, I guess.
Leisurely activities. These guys are saving the world. They are the equivalent of secret identities. Jessica, your thoughts on this whole sequence of superheroes and such like?
Yeah, I'm really interested in it. I think, again, we should have more women kind of role models in the superhero kind of genre. I'm quite disappointed that it's not going along as well as it should.
Look, you know, Wonder Woman, the DC movie, Telefantasy Society, the symposium at the University of Lincoln, who knows? It's not creative differences, but still. I do like Tara, I have to say, once again, you just coined the phrase here on your latest Facebook update, talking with Alex Levchuk and his Siren FM crew now live about geeky things, as I do.
It's good.
It's fantastic. I see from the Inside Skinny, the rants and raves with respect to SFX magazine, you're still basking in the glow of Agent Carter's run while crossing every digit with hopes of a renewal. And you can also attest that Marvel's next TV series, Daredevil, is one heck of a success too.
So yes, I'm very pleased with both of those shows. I was super, super happy with having a strong female, even though she's not a superhero with Agent Carter, but she was an incredible character to portray for the 8 episodes. And yes, there's still no word yet whether we're going to get her back in any kind of way. She obviously will still be in the Avengers movie universe, but I'd love to see her back episodically if we can. And Daredevil's been awesome. I really, really enjoyed it. I had a great chat for Total Film, which is the sister magazine of SFX, with Steve Knight, which is in their new issue. And he's the showrunner, and he talked about bringing that show to fruition. And I'm very proud of him, because I've known him way back in the day when he worked on Buffy and Angel. So good for him.
Well, there you are. And indeed, in the current edition of SFX magazine, Devil's Due, Josh Winning actually talks suits, scraps and scares with star Charlie Cox. So great stuff from that point of view. Okay, Katie, you've had a chance to speed read the interview with Fish Mooney, of course, the incarnation there in terms of Jada Pinkett Smith from the current edition of SFX, available, of course, now. Thoughts and questions? Are you a Gotham fan, by chance?
I've not seen Gotham.
Ooh,
so
9 o'clock, Channel 5, every month.
Can you give me a really, in a nutshell, what it is?
Same time as Made in Chelsea, so.
For a moment, Chloe, you created speechlessness in your friendly neighbourhood presenter there. Saying that Gotham is in competition with Made in Chelsea, which is equivalent to Jersey Shore.
I think very
in the
different
States.
Target audience. Yes.
I'm thinking, is this a Norwich thing? You know. Anyway, quite apart from that, yes, as Katie said, a précis of Gotham in a matter of seconds from your good self, Tara.
Well, she is one of the kind of top underworld characters in the Gotham universe. She is new, so she's really kind of been crafted by Jada, and you know, she was introduced with a bat. So you kind of get an understanding of how she likes to conduct herself with her peers. But she's been a really fun character this season, and one that has had a lot of ups and downs. She's kind of lost her power base. She's worked a lot with the character that people really love on the show, the Penguin. And she will not be returning. She announced herself not that long ago that she will only be one season on Gotham. So it's been fun to see her rise and fall, and then we'll see what her ultimate exit is very soon with the end of the first season.
Well, we also saw the incarnation of the character who will become the Joker in a recent episode of Gotham, of course. We've caught glimpses of, obviously, various other friends, Edward Nigma, and, of course, Oswald Cobblepot, or the Penguin. So they're all emerging, including Bruce Wayne Jr., sort of taking on those. Emma, Thoughts on Gotham?
Yeah, I love Gotham. I'm not actually quite up to date at the moment. Mm. I've been a bit bad recently, but I'm really enjoying it. I think it's great, and it is great to see all those characters that you know from the Batman sort of series is sort of developing at their younger stages. So I think it's really interesting, and Jada's a fantastic actress as well, and she really portrayed that character really well as a really powerful woman. So it was really interesting to see that.
It's all working
splendidly. I'm going to miss her. I agree.
Yeah. So there we have it in a nutshell, as you rightly said, positive stuff put together. But we can't let you go, even though Richard Edwards is joining us on the show next week, together with the return of Arthur Weingarten and a whole heap of other goodies, without acknowledging the fact that the next edition of SFX magazine is a very important, very special one. Would you like to explain why the next edition, that would be issue 261 of SFX, is such a very important, vitally generally wondrous thing to be waiting for? It's on page.
Yes, well, you know, on several layers. It's so exciting because it's 20 years of SFX, 1995 to 2015, which, you know, not only is it just a wonderful milestone for us as a team to be writing about sci-fi and our favorite nerdy and geeky things for so long, but to still exist in this, you know, new universe of people not necessarily always being interested in picking up a magazine like they used to 20 years ago, and for us to still be nice and robust and well thought of by our readership and well respected by the movies and the TV shows that we write about is really, I'm so proud of our editors, Rich and Dave Bradley and Dave Golder, and a lot of the people that have come and gone with our magazine. They've really kept it a really wonderful, vital magazine with topics and with our online edition, with our website, with you know, all the different various ways that you can see our reporting. I think we've really kept up with the times in the 20 years, and that's not a small or easy thing to do nowadays with how people consume their journalism. So it's wonderful that I've been with the magazine since 2003 and that they've kept me around. I can't thank them enough for that. And that, you know, I've been part of an ever-changing and such a smart and fun group of people to work with. I'm really honored to be a small blip on the map of their 20 years. And I wish with all of my heart that they have another 20 years more.
I'm sure they will. That was an Oscar acceptance speech. Come on, a round of applause for Tara Bates. That was hey, absolute. A magazine 20 years in the making. SFX, the world's number one sci-fi and fantasy magazine, 20th anniversary collector's edition, on the sale 29th of April 2015. If you sign up, shameless plug, for the Telefantasy Society routine, you can meet the editor-in-chief. That would be, of course, the wonderful Richard Edwards, who will be actually attending as well. Unless, of course, people don't register, in which case, don't register, you're not going to come.
And then we'll all cry. That'll be really sad.
I recommend meeting Rich Edwards. But yes, he's so much fun, and he loves to meet our readers. And there's nothing better than meeting Rich. And plus, he supplies me with British chocolate, so he totally knows how to take care of people.
Well, there we have it. Yeah, we'd even lose out on chocolate as well. Outrageous. Chloe, last two questions for our ace writer, Tara Bennett, who in a matter of minutes from now, to be precise, 300 seconds, is going to be on another very important telephone call. Go!
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Oh, I've enjoyed it so much. Thank you for having me.
And will you be returning?
If you have me, absolutely.
Of course. And you do know that 150 years ago, I mean, we talk about SFX being 20 years old, 150 years ago from now, it was probably about, well, in US time over in California, let's see, it was probably around about 10 hours whilst Abraham Lincoln was just getting ready to go to the theatre with his wife. And we all know how that hand ended. Not good at all. But still, we'll be talking about that and more up next with a Lincoln Skull extraordinaire after St. Etienne. Tara Bennett, take care.
I heard she drove the silvery sports car along the empty streets last night. Shoes from the red brick stairway, just like a harpsichord as she moves, and back upstairs.
The 150th anniversary of the untimely death of President Abraham Lincoln. That's today, of course, April the 15th. And to address the life and times, indeed, of one of the most inspirational figures of 20th century history, we're delighted to be able to welcome to the Midweek Drive today a historian and Abraham Lincoln expert extraordinaire, indeed, Professor Richard Cawardine. How are you, Richard?
I'm very well, thank you. Good morning.
It's wonderful that you're able to actually join us today. I know that the American Studies program that we used to run at the University of Lincoln, and indeed some of the level one historians in terms of the making of modern America from colonies to superpower. Lincoln is such an iconic character, such an iconic individual, that really it seems astounding. 150 years, so much has changed, but actually without Lincoln, we would be living in a completely different environment, one suspects.
How very, very wise you are to put it in those terms. Yes, Lincoln remains an extraordinarily inspirational figure. When I travel to the United States, there are very few areas where he doesn't retain an almost mythic quality. I've just come back from the United States to the Old South, the Confederate Old South. And even there now his reputation is rising. Of course, I've spent a lot of time in the land of Lincoln, in particularly in Springfield, where Lincoln learnt his trade. And there he's known as Mr. Lincoln. So right across North America, millions today will be recognising the significance of this figure. But also, I think your introduction is extraordinarily helpful in drawing attention to the fact that Lincoln has had an influence way beyond the shores of the United States. I think the society that we live in today in the UK has been more profoundly shaped by Lincoln than any other political figure from abroad. I think